Very good. So this morning I'm preaching on overcoming anxiety. Overcoming anxiety. So let's pray, eh? Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place today. We thank you for all the good things you're doing in our lives and through our lives. And Lord, we pray this morning that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that those who are struggling with anxiety or those that we know of that are struggling with anxiety, that Lord, that your peace would come to them. Lord, that they would know your presence, and Lord, that you would help us to be able to help them and help even ourselves, Father. Lord, we want to have your peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, in a world that's full of so much happening, that causes so much stress and anxiety, Lord, we pray that you would give us tools and ways to be able to walk through and not just thrive ourselves, but to help those around us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year I did C3 Bible College, and one of the ones we did was overcoming anxiety, and there was about 18 of us did this program, and I think there were 8 sessions, and they were just outstanding. And the one that I'm going to do this morning, after we did it, I had just about all of them say, "Alan, you need to preach that. People, we need to hear that." And so I thought, well, okay, let's do it. Let's talk a little bit. So my message is not... it's not really mine, I've just stolen it, okay? Hopefully you get something out of it to help with anxiety, because, you know, one of the things I think we've got to realize is there's not a one-fix-all. I don't know about you, but we like the one-fix-all. If I could just do this, it would make the difference, but, you know, like in most things in our lives, it's 4 or 5 things, it's finding 5 or 6 different keys. And those keys that maybe worked last time might not work again. And sometimes you sort of got to go on this little walk to try and find what works for you. Because we're all unique, aren't we? We're all completely different. And we've got different temperaments, we've got different personalities. So what might work for one person may not work for the other. And I do find often, you know, we give advice on what worked for us, and sometimes we can't understand why that didn't work for the person, can't we? But you've got to find your own way in this. And at the start of this, it talked about having an overcoming attitude. And it had 5 attitudes, which I'm just going to say really quickly, that I think we've got to keep in ourselves. If you're struggling with anxiety, I want you to have at least a couple of attitudes that are saying, I'm going to believe that I'm going to overcome in this. It may be the case that at the moment I'm really struggling, or there may be in the case that you know someone who's really struggling. But you want to be able to believe that, hey, at some stage you will overcome this. At some stage you're going to find some things. We're going to believe that it gets better. And there's 5 attitudes. The first one is optimism. And I believe in an optimistic God. I believe that we have a good God. I believe in a turnaround God. I believe in a world of sin that we can believe for answers. We can believe for miracles. I still believe in miracles. I believe miracles happen. Now, they don't always come exactly in the package we want, and they don't often come as fast as we want, but I'm still going to be a person that's front-footed believing that Jesus restores my soul. Psalm 23:3. I'm going to believe that God can restore my soul. I'm going to believe that he can work in me. The second is an attitude of dissatisfaction. To be dissatisfied if you're struggling with anxiety. To be someone who goes, I'm not, I know this is happening, this is in my life, but I'm going to have this dissatisfaction that moves me to go, I'm going to try and find some way to change it. The third one is humility, and this really struck me. The guy said, healing always requires humility. And if you think about that, that's true. If you want to go get healing, you have to humble yourself and go to the doctor. If you want to get healing in some areas, you've got to humble yourself and come to God and say, God, I can't do this. I need some help. You've got to humble yourself and go to someone and say, can you pray for me? A lot of times we're very individualistic and think, I can do this. I'll do this on my own. And it's our pride at times, and it actually alienates us and stops us from breaking through. So we've got to come and say, in humility, I'm going to have an attitude of humility to say, God, if you want me to talk to that person and ask them to pray for me, I'm going to do that. Or have a humility to say, we all need help. The fourth thing is tenacity. little by little, little by little, grit. I was watching a YouTube TED Talk the other day, and they were looking at, could they predict who's going to be successful and who won't in a whole lot of group of people that were starting to do their police training. And they said, is there a way that we could find out which ones of these people here are going to succeed and which ones won't? And they started doing it across a whole lot of different types of training to see whether they could come up with something that meant whether someone was going to succeed. And the number one thing they came back with was grit. That someone, as long as they were determined to be tenacious to go after it, they will succeed. And they did that in Marines, that it wasn't just the guy that looked good and had all the muscles and all that that succeeded. It was a guy that had the tenacity to keep going and to keep knowing and believed that they could improve. Even in school, they go, kids that believe that they've got grit and they can believe they can improve something are the ones that succeed. You know, we've got to believe and have grit that, hey, I can get through this. With God's help, with people's help, I can get through this. And the fifth one was to have an attitude of being courageous. Take courage. Courage doesn't automatically come. We've got to grab a hold and take courage. So in this course, we looked at six areas. So they looked at six areas that all work in to affect how we handle anxiety. And one's the intellectual thought. The second is the emotional world. The third is the physical world, physically. I read the other day that the only way that you can increase the speed of your brain, the fluidity of your brain, is actually through physical exercise. It's not making any difference to you, Carl, okay. Maybe it is, though. Maybe it is. But your physical world is having an effect. And definitely our physical world is having an effect. That, you know, through the winter, I do find people find it way harder. You know, it's forever raining. It's raining again. You know, and it just, that environment just affects us. Your spiritual life, your relational world. The people in your world can be affecting how you feel and stressing you out. And sometimes there's people in our lives that actually cause us to feel more stress. And now and again, we've got to cut them out. And that may not always be as easy as it sounds. And your vocational world. Your vocational world will be affecting your stress. So today I'm just going to look at the intellectual, the thought life. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's phenomenal, isn't it? That changing your way you think can God can use to make us a new person. Then you will learn to know what God's will is, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. But let God transform you into a new person, a completely new person, by changing the way you think. Let God transform you by renewing your mind. Let God transform the way you think. Did you know that our brains can change shape? Neuroplasticity, which I know nothing whatsoever about, but says that your brain can change. Change in your thinking, change in its shape. Just through how you think, it changes things. The brain changes shape according to how we use it. And it's not age-related. At any time, you can change your brain by changing the way you think. So our thoughts are important. They affect how we feel. Did you know that you can prescribe your thoughts? We can determine what happens in our thought life. We can control them. We don't have to let fear run wild in our mind. We don't have to allow fear into our thinking. You know, and a lot of times we just let our thinking go wherever our thinking wants to go. And that's part of the problem. Sometimes we're lazy thinkers. We just go, oh, I'll just let my mind wander. Now, that can be good, but it can be quite bad. You know, sometimes you've got to get some scriptures that you say and pronounce over your lives. And let me just give you a couple that are good. Philippians 4:12. I know that how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's a good verse to have in your repertoire. Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And sometimes we got to begin to just keep saying these verses to help change our own thinking. You know, what you hear the most is what you believe. What you say the most is what you believe. What you hear from other people the most is what you believe. Not necessarily what's true, what you hear. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. This scripture blows my mind. It's probably one of the most powerful scriptures if you can get a handle on it. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. God's Holy Spirit living in you. So we need to be aware of our thinking. So think about what you're thinking. Have you ever thought about thinking about what's going through your mind? Thinking about your thinking. And I've got three steps here, simple steps for renewing your mind. And we need to take responsibility to change the way we think. Okay? So here's the three steps. Step one is to recognize what's going on in your thinking. Step two is to reject the wrong thinking. And the step three is to replace it with good thinking. So let's just do the recognize. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Are you aware of your thoughts? Are you aware of what you're thinking? What you're thinking saying? Are you aware of your anxious thoughts? Because we've got to start rejecting them. We've got to look at, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking that? Why? It's taking captive every thought. Psalm 94:18. I cried out, I'm slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Beware of your anxious thoughts. So sometimes we've got to take the time to go, man, why am I thinking about this all the time? And I don't know about you, sometimes they just keep coming back, some of them. And most of them, for me, I've had to watch out at night, lying in bed, and you start thinking. And before you know it, the world's falling apart and you're in big trouble. You know, you're thinking. And I think one of it is what I call what-if thinking. If you start thinking what-if, and unfortunately most of our what-if thinking is negative. You know, what if this happens? Oh, then this is going to happen. And before you know it, I can remember when we were in real financial trouble, and we'd done a development, had gone wrong. We were in major trouble. The banks were knocking on the door. I stopped answering the phone. I still, to this day, if someone rings me and it's got one of those unlisted numbers in that, I don't answer the phone. They scare the living daylights. They just bring me right back to that feeling when I had people chasing, and the other partner that I had, he just gave up, and so I had to bear the brunt of all his mistakes and bits and pieces like that. And man, I can remember thinking, man, I'm in financial trouble. I'm going to go bankrupt. We'll lose everything. I can't be a pastor if I go bankrupt. I can't go back to being an accountant if I'm bankrupt. I won't have a job. I'm going to be on the streets. All the kids are going to be on the streets. You know, I mean, it just overwhelms you in your thinking and goes around and around. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to disappear. I'm going to have to leave the country. I'm going to have to leave the country. And I can remember when we did our little world trip going through LA and thinking, man, this place is so huge. And I can remember in my when I'm the darkest thoughts thinking, we could just go there, no one would know who we were. We could just start again. We could just, you know. It's heavy. You know, I can, in a sense, laugh about it now, but man, that was full on. It was a weight. And night after night and day after day, that it just wears you down. So we've got to think about our thinking. And in the end, I had to change. I had to say, I'm not going to think about this. I'm going to choose not to do wealth analysis. I'm going to choose not to go down that line in my thinking. I'm going to make a decision to be intentional about my thinking. And if I can do anything to encourage you to go, come on, you can control your thoughts. You've just got to make a decision and you've got to start going, right, first of all, I've got to reject them. I've got to recognize them, sorry. And then the second thing is I've got to reject them. What do you do with those thoughts? Well, here's the first thing is don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. You know, sometimes we think everything we think is 100% right. Hate to say it. We're not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not truth. Our thoughts have a mix in them. And so we've got to go, I'm going to take time to reject some of the thinking that I have. Especially thinking about ourselves, thinking about our situation. We need to evict our wrong thoughts. You know, evict the tenant that's in trouble. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is a process. This is not a one-off. This is a constant process. Constantly, I've got to be taking my thoughts and going, no, that's not faith thinking. That's the enemy thinking. Think about your thinking. Spiritual warfare is taking captive of your thoughts. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a habit of our thinking energized by another power. And the enemy wants to get in and affect our thinking. He's forever sending thoughts our way. Now, I don't know how it works. I don't completely understand it all. But I know that it's like he's got a little voice that now and then we hear. You know, I often use the illustration. A few weeks back, I talked about hearing the voice of God, and I talked about how Peter, one minute he hears from God. He didn't really know he'd heard from God. And, you know, Jesus says, who am I? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, look, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. My spirit, God's spirit has revealed that. You've heard from God. But I don't think he really knew. I think he just blurted it out, not realizing that God had given him that thought. And then to half an hour later to be standing there and, you know, Jesus says, I'm going to suffer. And Peter goes, hold on, I don't want that. That's not very good, no. And takes Jesus aside and starts rebuking him and telling him. And Jesus says to him again, hey, get behind me, Satan. I mean, which is pretty full on, especially coming from Jesus. Well, saying Peter's thoughts, now you've been influenced by the world. You've got not what? You haven't got God's thoughts now, you've got the enemy's thoughts. So we're the same. We've got to be careful what we think and what comes into our mind, and he can sow a seed. The enemy's into sowing seeds as much as we want to sow seeds. He wants to sow seeds of distrust. He wants to sow seeds of doubt. And they just start by little thoughts in our mind. Little thoughts that are not true that we begin to believe, and the enemy begins to reinforce it. You're no good. You're going to fail here. This is all going to go wrong. And those are strongholds that we begin to have in our mind that affect us. Ask God to help you with your thinking. Make a statement, say it out loud, recognize the thought. When you recognize that that's not a good thought, then say it out loud, no, I don't believe that. I think this is where I think even scripture saying it out loud has more power than just reading it on a page. You know, as you speak it, it sort of goes through your eye gate. You speak it out, it comes back through and through your ear gate. What you say becomes something that you begin to believe. It's powerful. So what's the third step is replace. Help yourself by replacing your thinking with new thinking. Fix our thoughts. Set our minds. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Here's some saying, hey, choose what you're going to think about. I'm going to think about good things. No, I'm not going to go down that line. I'm going to stop there. Now I'm going to think about things I'm going to be thankful about. I'm going to give praise about. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So we begin to fix our thoughts on God. God, you're awesome. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about how good you are, God. Colossians 3:2, think about things of heaven, not things of earth. Romans 8:5-6, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. This is where speaking in tongues, I think, is far more powerful than sometimes we realize in helping our thinking and helping out and changing our thinking. It's like we've got this decision of which way you're going to focus your thinking. Are you going to focus it this way towards your sinful nature and all the things that you know are wrong? You know, for me, that's anything negative, anything sinful, anything that's far. If I focus on those things, I'm going to go that way. It's choosing to say, no, I'm not even going to think about those things anymore. I'm going to think about all the lovely things. I'm going to think about all the things the Holy Spirit wants me, and I'm going to go in that direction. And, you know, look, it's a sort of like a curve change in our thinking that takes time. It could take you 21 days. It could take you 3 months. But it's a decision. No, I'm going to take captive my thoughts. I'm going to reject the wrong thoughts, and now I'm going to think this way. I'm going to think that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Meditate on best case scenarios. Man, rather than worst case scenarios. Do you know that 85 to 90% of what people worry about never happens? What a waste of thinking. Surrender to the worst case scenario. Even if I die, I go to heaven. We need to say out loud, my life is in the hands of Jesus. I trust you, God. You've got this. Get a vision, a God vision. Get a dream. Begin to dream. I think that's one of the most powerful things you can start doing is dreaming. Say, God, I want you to give me a dream. What do you want me to do? Be consumed with vision. Build a stronghold of truth in your mind through speaking scriptures aloud over yourself. So you can choose what you have in your stronghold in your thinking. You can choose. I've chosen that I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to believe in faith that God's going to come through. I'm going to consistently believe God's going to come through in my life. God's going to sort things out. I'm going to consistently believe for miracles. I believe in miracles. I want to live in miracles. Put your name into scriptures. You know, it's funny how often I've said this to people, and probably what disappoints me the most is how few people do it. How few people go, okay, I'm going to try it. You know, a few years back, my son had one of those bike combination locks. You know, the ones you just twiddle around? And actually, I think my father gave it to us and said, oh, look, we don't know what the combination is. Do you think you could find out what it was? Could you get your son to just go through all the combinations? I thought, oh, yeah, that's a bit mean. Anyhow, so I thought, oh, well, I'll give him the challenge, and gave it to him. Do you know how soon he came back with the answer? 5 minutes. See, he just started 000, 001, 0002, 003, and got there. It must have been in the low hundreds or something like that. But in my thinking, this was going to take a long time. But all he had to do was try some things. You know, in life, you've sometimes just got to try some things. I'm into trying things. At the moment, I'm doing 7 weeks where God told me to stop having coffee. I know, look at some of the shock on your face. Oh my goodness. It was strange, actually. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said to me, oh, I'm not sleeping very well. And I said, do you drink coffee? And they said, yes. I said, why don't you give it up? I couldn't give it up. I said, but it might make it so you could sleep at night. No, I couldn't give it up. I said, you should just give it up. Give it up for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And I walked away, and the next day I felt God say, you should give it up for 7 weeks. It's all very well for you to tell someone else to do it. Can you do it? So I did it. Given up. Told me to fast 1 day a week. Just drink one day a week. Fast, no food. That's where soup's good, see? But I'm trying these different things, and it's amazing how you change one thing and it changes everything in your life. And we've just got to keep trying some things. Maybe some of you go, get up 10 minutes earlier and have more of a quiet time. Maybe go to bed at a different time. Change something in your life and just go, I'm going to just do this for 7 days. I'm going to try this for 3 weeks. But that will shift something. When I was 15, my writing was atrocious. Like, you couldn't read it. It was absolutely terrible. And I remember, at a young age crying because my writing was so horrible. Anybody else got horrible writing? Oh, boy. So I made a decision that I was going to change my writing at 15. And so I went and I found one of the girls in my class who had the nicest writing. And I thought, I'm going to copy hers. And I changed about 5 letters. I can remember 5 letters were completely different the way she did that. And changing those 5 letters in the way I wrote changed my whole writing. Oh, my kids tell me my writing's nicer than my wife's, so that's got to be a good start. I hope. Sorry, darling. But what am I trying to say is, look, sometimes you just got to change a little thing, and it does a major change in your life. It sets you on a course. It's like, you know, it's like I'm going in this direction. I've just changed this direction, and now things are changing in my life. Because you think about it, you know, if you're walking to Tauranga and you're 1 degree off, where you end up in 20 Ks is totally different. Like, it's miles different. And it's the same for us in our lives. Look, just one little thing in changing of our thinking could change our world. Change our world. Maybe Joe can come. Look, remember the things God has done in your past. Think on those things. Fill your mind with beautiful things. Worship music. Walk in creation. Watch positive movies. Stop watching the news. It's probably not helping. Stop looking at social media. It's probably not helping. Put time into problem solving. Actually set aside, if you're anxious about something, set aside some time and go, I'm going to actually think about answers to this. Not just drift around in your thinking, but go, no, I'm going to think about how I'm going to problem solve this. I'm going to do some little research on it and have a look and come back with an answer. Remember past victories that God's given you. Psalm 77 verse 11 says this, but then I recall all you have done, Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds and of long ago. You know, David was forever, the world's a mess, I'm in trouble. Then he goes, like he had this process of going, okay, God, though, but I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Think about things that are lovely. Last scripture, Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And that'll change your thinking. Make some declarations. Make some faith things. Try something different in your thinking. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place, and we can feel your presence. We can feel your love. Lord, I pray for every single person here that, Lord, your peace would come into their mind and their thinking. Lord, I pray hope would come. Lord, I pray you give them a tool. Father, one of the things maybe I've said that they go, right, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this. Lord, I pray that you would unlock wrong thinking for them.